Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your word. Thank you, Lord, for the example that Daniel is to us as even modern day followers of Jesus. Many generations separate us from Daniel, but I pray, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds to hear from your spirit tonight as we study this great book. Amen. I was 7 years old, and my family was on a vacation with my cousins. I can't remember their names right now. Aunt Steve and Aunt Carol and their two kids were there. Uncle Steve. It was crazy times in the 80s. Crazy times. Steve was a wild man. Uncle Steve. So my brother and I were there, and I think that we were in like a cabin that we rented that was, this sounds really snobby. We were on the beach in Connecticut. We were from upstate New York, so we were kind of Eastern people to begin with. But when we were there, my grandma came. It was probably August, end of the summer, and we were sort of getting ready to go back to school. And my grandma was there, and she was talking to her four grandchildren, and she pulls out this present. And I'm thinking, like I don't know when. My brother's birthday is after my birthday. So she begins talking about someone that's having a birthday. And she's like, the birthday's in October. And I'm like, this is for me. It's August, and I'm going to be getting a birthday gift in August. This is awesome. I was like so excited. And she's talking about this birthday, and then you know, she begins to hand the gift to my cousin, and she's like, and it's on, your birthday's on the 12th. And I'm like, my birthday's on the 20th. It wasn't for me. And I just remember in this moment, like, I was profoundly, my 8-year-old life just crumbled. I was shattered. I was absolutely distraught. This happened like 43 years ago, and as I was thinking about it today, I'm like, the memory is sharp. The pain was real. And what you guys are thinking is like, you've had a sheltered life, man. Like, you need to navigate your way through some heartache. But I just remember the pain of being forgotten, of being overlooked. I'm sure that my grandmother had a great gift for me. Like, probably I lived in the same town as she did. Like, she probably got me a gift. No memory of that gift at all. But this sense of just being like, you forgot about me, Grandma. You forgot about me. And as I was contemplating what it must have been like to have been alive in the time of Daniel and to be in exile, and to be in this land and to be wondering, how long are we going to be a forgotten people? And maybe your hopes had gotten up when you heard this proclamation from King Nebuchadnezzar about how the Lord had been working in his life. And maybe you were thinking, Nebuchadnezzar is going to be the one to release us to go back to our homeland, back to the city of Jerusalem. And then Nebuchadnezzar died, and his sons were terrible, and there was this period of unrest, and Belshazzar, and now we're in the first year of a new king that's now conquered the land of the Chaldeans, and we read that his name is Darius as we start our passage this week. And so to be an exile and to have seen over the course of all these years the waiting, and nothing ever happens. I imagine that to be in exile would have been hard. It would have challenged people. They would have felt overlooked. They would have felt forgotten. And I think as we come to Daniel's prayer tonight, I think the message for us from Daniel chapter 9 is that God has not forgotten us. God has not forgotten his people. God has not forgotten you, and he hasn't forgotten me. So let's take a look at Daniel chapter 9 and see what it is that God was stirring up in Daniel's heart and life, and some of the things that he was praying for as he began to think about this return, what it was going to look like for the people to return. So if we think about what Daniel was doing that led to him praying this wonderful prayer, First of all, it was that first year of Darius, this new king, this foreign king who had took over the land of the Chaldeans. So his job situation was in turmoil. When you're like a wise man to the king, and we've read about some of the things that happened to Daniel during Darius's reign, right? Daniel in the lion's den, that story came underneath King Darius. So this is a bit of a flashback, but Daniel is reminding us that he was in the Word of God. And what he was reading was, he was reading one of the books of the prophets, which we've been reading. He was reading about the prophet Jeremiah, who, this had to be a viral book that went out because Jeremiah was active as a prophet in the land of Israel as the city of Jerusalem was falling. So this would have been someone who would have been a more modern prophet from Daniel's perspective. But Daniel was reading Jeremiah's words. And Jeremiah said that 70 years is the time that the people will be in exile. And Daniel did something that's maybe hard for people to do. He read the word of God. He believed it. He believed it to be true. He was probably going through and getting out his abacus or his calculator or his sundial, like whatever they did to keep track of date and times. Then he's like, how long has it been that we've been in exile? And he was getting up there in age. And he was probably like, it's getting to be about that 70-year time. And so Daniel believed what God had written down, and he turns to the Lord in prayer. I'll read some of this for you. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. The next thing that we can learn from Daniel is he had a posture of prayer. Some of you probably have clothes that you wear when you work out, right? You got your working out clothes, right? Some kind of like fabric-y to deal with your sweat, and like good supportive shoes for when you run. Maybe it's grippy. I don't know why working out clothes are grippy, but we got grippy clothes that we work out in, and we put them on when we work out. Daniel has like a prayer outfit. Daniel's like, when I got stuff I got to change into, because when I'm praying, man, I got to be serious about it. And so Daniel has a sackcloth garment that he chooses to put on. When he prays, he's like, I'm changing my clothes. I'm putting on my sackcloth, and I'm putting on my ashes. And he's pointing his body, probably he would face towards where Jerusalem was. He would have probably faced whatever direction the city of Jerusalem was in. That's what Solomon said that they were supposed to do. When we pray towards the temple. So presumably he might have been doing that. So Daniel was orienting his body to be ready to embark on praying to God. And so I need a reminder about that. Like sometimes when I pray, I'm like, I'm in my PJs and I'm in bed, and then I fall asleep, right? I need that sackcloth shirt to kind of keep me awake. I need some ashes to remind me, like the kind of gritty, dusty stuff that, hey, this is a time when I'm reflecting upon God. And the reason that Daniel poured ashes on himself is that we're told that his prayer was one of confession. He was praying a prayer of confession. There's three things that Daniel looks at that are characteristics of God. One of them is his covenant-keeping steadfast love. The second one is his righteousness. And the third one is mercy and forgiveness. I realize that some of those are probably two. But if we look at Daniel's prayer, he's reflecting upon these characteristics of God. And I don't know which came first in Daniel's prayer, the chicken or the egg. Was he thinking about the characteristics of God, and he was reminded of his and the people of Israel's sinfulness? Or was he contemplating his own sinfulness and then remembering the God I serve is different? The God I serve doesn't have these characteristics of sin and frailty that I have. But as Daniel goes through his prayer, first of all, in verses 4-6, he highlights the fact that God is a covenant keeper and has steadfast love for those who keep his commandments. Daniel uses we language as he prays. Sometimes when I pray, I want to use you language or them language. And I want to talk about other people being different from myself. But me, Lord, And Daniel's like, nope, it's we. And the things that he begins to recount as he prays are things that he may or may not have a part in, but he is owning those things as items that he is confessing for. He prayed to his God. He made confession. And he points out that the people have rebelled. They've turned aside from God's commandments. They've not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name. And so he's pointing out the differences between who God is and who the people of Israel have been. He also points out in verses 7 through 8 that to God belongs righteousness. And then he reflects upon the character of the people of Israel. Well, what belongs to the people of Israel? Shame. Shame for the things that they've done. Shame for their rebellion. Shame for their sin. Shame for the sin of the fathers and the fathers and the sons and the grandfathers and the grandsons. The generations of sin. Daniel is feeling that, and he is speaking to that as he prays to the Lord. In verses 9 through 10, he points out that God is merciful. To our Lord God belongs mercy and forgiveness. And again, he reminds himself of what he brings to this relationship, which is rebellion, transgression of the laws, refusing to obey your voice. And ultimately, Daniel turns into this section in verses 11 through 14 where he begins to talk about the calamity of the exile, the calamity of the destruction of the city of Jerusalem as well as the temple. And Daniel seems to be saying, this is exactly what you said was going to happen back in Deuteronomy 24, back in other places in the Bible where the people would be cast out of the land because of their sin. And so Daniel is basically saying, like, we have earned it. We have earned this. Our behavior, our rebellion, our sin, Lord, we deserve exactly what you have poured out on us by taking us into exile in a foreign land. And then we come to Daniel's request as he's thinking about the 70-year duration. And he says, and now, in verse 15, O Lord, our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. And he says, Lord, for the sake of your name, for your own sake, for the sake of your character, for the sake of your attributes, for the sake of your steadfast love, we're asking that you remember the city of Jerusalem. Remember your people. Remember your holy hill. Daniel reminds us that the reason that people are in exile is ultimately because God sent them away. It was God's land. It was his temple. And as the people's hearts were turned away from the Lord and they were turned towards other idols and other gods and other things that they wanted to worship, they were not with the Lord. And so the Lord said, let's just make the position of your heart be the position of your bodies. And they were out. And Daniel is saying, Lord, for your sake, bring people back. Turn your wrath away from your holy hill. And I think the principle for this first section is that prayer helps us to remember who God is. Prayer helps us to remember who God is, and maybe by extension, who we are. Some of you probably have computers, maybe phones. Some of you have a phone in the audience. You don't need to raise your hand. Yes, Dee's got one. Excellent. I figure most of y'all have one. Every now and again, my phone and my computer start to act a little bit weird. Does anybody have that? You're trying to do something. You're like, dude, what I need you to do right now, I need you to make a phone call. It's like it's part of your job. It's your primary job. I know that you're good at GPSing, but what I need right now is I need to make a voice call, okay? And my phone is like, I can't do it. I can't do it right now. And so what do we do in those moments? We turn it off and we turn it back on again, right? And by doing so, what happens with your phone and your computer is like all the stuff that your phone is like trying to do in the background. It's like, dude, you have like 47 apps open right now. Like you got the Grams going and you got Friend Face going on and your emails going on. Like all that stuff, all that, it's just, I'm gonna close it all. I'm gonna, when you reboot your phone, like all that stuff, just those applications close. All the little bits and bytes that are in the computer's memory, it's like, I'm gonna get rid of all this stuff in my memory. Is that what you want me to do? You're like, 100%. I should have done this 3 days ago, right? And so we turn it off and everything just whoosh. And when we turn the phone back on again, it's like, I'm ready. I have nothing in my memory. I'm ready to make that phone call. I'm ready to send that text message. I'm ready to help you find your way to Kirk of the Hills for BSF. I sort of think that prayer is kind of like a reboot. We need to have something that reminds us, what are we made for? What are we supposed to be doing with our brains and with our hands and with our memories? We're supposed to be oriented and directed towards the Lord. He made us. We're his creation. We're his people. And you and I spend time during the day and we get all this other stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to load this stuff into my memory. I'm thinking about this. What am I going to have for dinner? I got to work out, stretchy pants. Where's my sackcloth shirt? I don't know. How am I going to pray? We get all this stuff that comes in and it distracts us. And prayer is that opportunity where we can reprioritize our worries, reprioritize our concerns, reprioritize what's important in our lives. It's just a way to reboot, to reset. I wish it was like turning off and turning back on again. It's not quite like that, is it, for us? We have a hard time letting go sometimes. And that's why we need to pray a lot, right? We need to be praying regularly because we need to be reminded about who are we made for, who can speak truth into our life. The Lord of the universe can. And prayer is our time to be oriented to him. When was the last time that you had a good reboot? When was the last time that you had a period of time that you can point to in your life and say, I was focused on the Lord. I was focused on his character. I was focused on his promises. I was focused on his word. And I was reminded of my own sinfulness and my own shame. And I was reminded of his forgiveness and his mercy and his steadfast love. There's a lot of things that I would like to borrow from Daniel's pattern of prayer. His regularity. His physical preparation. He had his sackcloth and ashes ready to go. He didn't have to be like, where is it? Where did I put them? He knew where they were. He was ready to go. I love the fact that Daniel's content of his prayer is called a confession. He is confessing who God is. He's confessing truth. And he's confessing his own sin and his own failings. And ultimately, Daniel brings forth his requests. Sometimes my prayers are a lot of the things that I'm looking for in this world. Daniel brought some of those, but he brought them in conjunction with many other things. And so what should you and I borrow and learn and take from Daniel's pattern of prayer in this first part of chapter 9? Let's move on. In verses 20 through 27, we see something. I don't know if this happened to you or not, but a lot of times when I'm praying, an angel doesn't show up and provide me with wisdom and insight. But it happened here. We see that the angel Gabriel in verses 20 to 23, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my plea before the Lord. It's a great outline for prayer right there, right? Praying, confessing the sin of my people, presenting my plea. It's just a nice little outline. Gabriel shows up. And Daniel knows Gabriel because he had interacted with him in a prior vision. And so he came swift in flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. And he made me understand. So when you were reading through the 77s, you might have been like, dude, what is happening? All y'all were late tonight because you were trying to work it out, right? Like you were like, what's going on in the 77s? Daniel tells us that Gabriel came and brought understanding. And so Daniel interpreted this as being understanding that was provided to him by God. This is what Gabriel says. Oh, Daniel, I have now come. to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word was sent out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly loved. And he says, consider the word and understand the vision. And so again, Daniel viewed this Gabriel comes as a direct answer to Daniel's prayer. Daniel was wondering, Lord, when are you going to allow your people to begin to return? Do you even have a plan? Have you been working on this at all? And the Lord comes and the answer is like, yes, I have a plan. Let me share it with you. As we think about what Daniel was praying for, Daniel was praying about the sin of the nation of Israel, the repeated recurring sin. And look at what the answer that Daniel receives as the 70 weeks or the 77s are explained. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for the iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness. This is what Daniel was praying about for his people. He was noting their sin and their faults. And here the answer comes from Gabriel that 70 weeks are decreed to be able to go through and begin this process. As we think about the 77s or the 70 weeks, they seem to be broken up into three sections. If you look at them, it talks about the first round of seven, and this is going to be prior to the 62 weeks. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem, there shall be 7 weeks. So that's the first round of sevens. We then have a 62 section, 62 sevens or 62 weeks. And then for those of you who are good at math, you know that there's 1 week left. And that's talked about towards the end of the passage. There'll be a 1 week period of time. Let's talk a little bit about these. First of all, many people have striven. Is that a word? Strived? Striven? Striven. Strived. Many people have attempted to look backwards at world history. And they've tried to figure out, like, okay, Jesus was born around the year zero. I don't know what they called it back in the day. They probably didn't say, hey, it's year zero, man. This is amazing. What's going on? Year zero. I don't know what they said. But Jesus was born around AD zero. He died around AD 33. And we know that the city of Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed again in AD 70. So people have tried to look back at history, and they've tried to say, here's what all of this means. Now, you can look at your notes, and your notes will walk you through some of the different ways that Bible-believing people have tried to understand this. There's a couple different patterns. Daniel wouldn't have known about any of this, right? Daniel didn't know that Jesus was going to be born in the year zero. He was like, what are we counting down to, man? I have no idea. We're just counting it down. It's like Casey Kasem. We're counting down the years. Like, something's coming into year zero. What are we going to do then? Are we going to be able to count up? How's it going? I don't know. They probably reckoned time differently, right? So he didn't have the perspective of looking back and saying, here's what everything meant. From Daniel's perspective, he has to just hear Gabriel and say, here's what I can understand about what the Lord's telling me. First of all, God has a plan. He has a 77 plan, 70 times 7. If it's 70 weeks or 77s, if it's understood to be years, God has a 490-year plan to solve the problem of the sin of the people and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. There was going to be a word that went out. There was going to be a word to go and restore Jerusalem, and that's going to begin the period of sevens. The 77s begin when there's a mandate or a word to restore the city of Jerusalem. During that time of the 62 sevens, it was going to be a time of rebuilding of the city, but it was going to be troubled. And at the end of that time, we read about the anointed prince being cut off. Now, many people look at that and say, 100%, that's Jesus, and it's a good argument to be able to say that it's Jesus. And then we're told about one final seven. The final seven ends when the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. And that sounds interesting. But we know that there's going to be a final phase of sevens where it seems that worship in the temple is going to be interrupted. Sacrificial systems could be interrupted. And it'll be like half of the week. You know, so if you're ever wondering like what time and halftime is, you know, maybe half of a week might be halftime. Hard to say. But again, what we can be confident of is that Daniel's hearing of this probably told him, I think, these six things, and I'll share them with you and then we'll wrap up. Number one, Daniel could be pretty confident that there was a God in heaven who heard his prayer. Daniel's prayer was heard. Daniel's prayer was answered. So Daniel's prayer was heard, Daniel's prayer was answered, and we are told that the reason that all of this happened is that Daniel is loved by God. God loved Daniel, and God heard Daniel's prayer and wanted to give him an answer. Whatever answer Gabriel brought, whether it's confusing or clear, it was understood to be a direct answer to Daniel's prayer for the restoration of the city of Jerusalem and the removal of sin on the people. Gabriel provided Daniel with insight and understanding. And Daniel could be confident that the 70-year period of exile was drawing to a close and that God did have a plan to restore the people to the city of Jerusalem. The other thing that would have been clear to Daniel, or at least is clear to us, is that the plan's going to take some time. It isn't going to be something that's going to happen immediately. The plan's going to take some time. And I think the other thing that Daniel could be confident about was it's a good thing that God's running the plan and not me, because God seems to know what he's doing. And the rest of us are kind of like, well, I don't exactly know. But God knows. And so as a result of all of this, I think Daniel came away from this probably feeling like God has a plan. And it will be accomplished. God has a plan and it will be accomplished. Has anybody been to the dentist? Some of you, I see a couple of hands. I see David putting his head down. He's like, well, I should have probably gone, but it's been a while. I love it when I go to the dentist, right? And you're there, you've had your teeth cleaned, and there's maybe a fair bit of blood that you're interacting with in your mouth. And the dentist is like, have you been flossing? You're like, 100%, I've been flossing. Absolutely, I've been flossing. And he's like, okay. And so you go to the dentist and you get done, and the person at the front desk is like, so we're going to have an follow-up appointment for you in 6 months. Do you have anything going on? I'm like, I don't know. When do you want to do it? What month is even going to be 6 months from now, right? And she's like, how about May 12th at 6 a.m.? I'm like, that sounds good. My calendar does not go out 6 months. And then when you get older, you're supposed to go have a physical every year. You guys are young still, so you're not there yet. But when you go have your physical, then the receptionist is like, so I'm going to need to get you back in 12 months. What do you have going on October 30th, 2026? I'm like, I'm free. I guarantee you, I have nothing planned right now a year from today. I got absolutely nothing going on, okay? We'll just get you in first, okay? Because anything else is just going to fit around this appointment. And, you know, the thing with the Lord, if this is a 490-year plan, the Lord's kind of like, what do you have going on like 50 generations from now? You got anything that you're doing then? Daniel was probably not going to see the complete end of God's plan. He had a vision. God told him, I have a plan. Daniel, I'm carrying it out. Rest easy. I have a plan. I'm carrying it out. Daniel wasn't going to see it be completed. But Daniel heard God and he believed. He believed that God was going to do it. Sometimes I get impatient with God, because God isn't doing things what I consider to be fast enough. And God might come to me sometimes and be like, I have a 50-generation plan to solve all your problems, Brett. You might not see the end of it. Well, what do we do when we get impatient with God? Daniel read his Bible and prayed. And that is a good lesson for me. That when I get impatient with the Lord, it'd probably be good for me to read some scripture. Maybe I should read Daniel. And pray to the Lord and be confident that God has a plan and he's carrying it out. I think the hard thing for us, and maybe the hard thing for Daniel, was going to be, you know, do I really trust what God's doing? Am I really confident that God's going to do it? He said that he was going to do it. I believe that he was going to do it, but Daniel had to believe that God was going to do it even though he wouldn't see it. And that's the situation that a lot of people that we read about in the Bible are in. You can look at Hebrews 11, and there's a list of people who believed God and never actually saw what they believed in. And so you and I are in that same boat, is that God has promised to do some things in this world to draw it to a close. We read about those in Revelation, and we might not see it. Y'all have a better chance than me. I'm further in, right? I'm further into my time on this earth. Y'all might see it, I might miss it. But we have to be confident that God has said he's gonna do it. And Daniel was like, great, Lord, you got it. Lord, you have it. Israel was not forgotten. Daniel was not forgotten. You and I are not forgotten. Daniel read and believed. And I think the question for you and I is, what is God asking you and I to believe about him as we've read his word? What is God asking you and I to trust in? What is he asking us to have confidence in? Where is he asking us to set aside and reorient to him? And are we willing to do that? Are we willing to trust the Lord to do what he said he would do in the time frame that he will do it in? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for Daniel. Lord, thank you that you answered his prayer. Thank you that you loved him. Thank you that you heard him. I pray, Father, that you would help all of us to pull some of those characteristics into our own life of prayer with you. Help us, Lord, to trust you and to believe the words that you've spoken, both to us as individuals and through the Bible, through your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that you would give us confidence that you are guiding us, you are leading us, and we are carrying out your plan day by day. It's just not as fast as we would like. And give us confidence in that as well, Lord. Amen.